Anybody here that was supposed to come to 11 and arrive really early? No, okay. Too helpful. Welcome to Christ the King. As Justin mentioned, if it's your first time here with us today, we welcome you here. It's a pleasure to have you here. If you're joining us online for the first time, or you've been catching us online for a while, come here. We'd love to see you in person. But definitely check out anything and everything you need on the website to be able to catch up on past messages and things like that. But I just realized I haven't introduced myself. My name's Stephen Bollinger. I'm on the communications team here at Christ the King. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you this morning and kicking off this series, Great Friendships. I'm a little jealous I didn't get to see the roll-in. It sounded awesome. But I hope the series is just as awesome. But as before we get going today, I did want to open up with prayer real quick just to pray that God would just be in this time and be in this word. So if you can just pray for me real quick. God, we just come to you as a church, as just people longing to hear from you. We pray that you would just move today, Father, through our worship, through our prayer, through this message, that your word would just fall on hearts today, Father, that it would come into the cracks of our lives, the places that need you. All of us need you, God, but that, you would just work in our lives and just continue to fill us up with your love, your grace, and your goodness. Each and every minute, we ask these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. Amen. But as we start this new series called Great Friendships, I want to take a moment to reflect on sort of what we've done the past few weeks. Because as many as you know, did anyone catch the Art of Neighboring series? Really? None of you? Okay, there we go. Some of you have been here the past 3 weeks. So, this church has been in a series called Art of Neighboring. And if you have a friend, where's your hand? Really? Okay, hold on. Try it again. Where's your hand if you got a friend? We still got some doubters. Okay, turn to the person next to you, introduce yourself again. Go ahead, say good morning, welcome here. You now have one friend. At least. Does anybody have good friends? Yeah? Keep your hands up, keep your hands up. Anybody have great friends? A couple hands went down. Really? Come on. You put your hands up. I know for me this week, as I was prepping for this message the past few weeks and really praying, what is God putting on my heart to share with you today? And, This clip from Shrek kept coming into my mind, where he goes, ogres are like onions. You know, they have many layers, and I was peeling back the layers of my friendships, and I was looking at what I would consider a great friendship. those great friendships as we peeled apart the things that we have in common, as we peeled apart maybe something we do together as an event or a hobby, or maybe it's a shared thing that we enjoy seeing or doing. As we peel apart different layers, a lot of those layers were widely layers of friendship. And one of the things that stuck out to me the most is a lot of my great friendships crumbled if they didn't have Christ at the center of that friendship. That there was another dimension to those friendships that were great friendships than just commonalities. But it also gave me a good laugh because I got to think about some friendships that I have and how we've met and how the friendship's grown. Anybody have some good friendship stories that don't end up with you going to jail? Church appropriate? Yeah? I have a lot of them. Some of them are not church appropriate. Some of them are. I'll share with you a little bit of one that I just got a kick out of, and I asked the guy if I could use it. But there's a couple that's been coming to this church for about 2 years now. The guy's name is Cameron Jackman. Many of you may know him. He's a pilot, but when he first started coming here, he came to our young adult group. And he came one Tuesday, I think it was, evening, and got to know him. He didn't say a word. You know, he just showed up, was there, gone. I'm like, I hope he liked it. And his wife was Lindsay. Was like, yeah, it was great. We loved it. We'll be back next week. And Cam was gone. You know? And it just so happened that was a Tuesday. The Saturday we went out to lunch at Fuji's here in Rivergate. It was amazing when we went. I don't know how it is now, but it was really good. And I just chuckled because the whole time at lunch we would chat, and Cameron was sort of chuckling and whispering in Lindsay's ear, and Lindsay would be like, Cameron thought that was funny. But it's this really, and I just got a kick out of that. I'm like, this guy is cool. Like, I can't wait till he comes out of his shell. So maybe in the extrovert I am, I'm like, how can I have a relationship with this guy? You know, let's start a friendship here. So that next week, it was a Tuesday afternoon, I got a call about a car I was selling. Great, you wanted to pay list price for the car I was selling, and he lives in Pennsylvania. I was like, oh, that's great. When you come down North Carolina? Well, can you meet me in West Virginia? Meet you in West Virginia. Anybody ever been to West Virginia? I got family that lives in West Virginia. There's a reason we don't go see them. They come see us. You know? No, I'm just kidding. All you guys from West Virginia. Sorry. But we go up to West Virginia, and it's a 4-hour drive for me, it's a 4-hour drive for him, it's cool. I was like, you know, I'm gonna call Cameron. He's a pilot, he's off the next few days. Hey Cameron, what you doing? You want to drive up to West Virginia with me, sell a car, then drive back and just spend 8 hours of your day doing this? Well, Steven, I'm actually up at Ski Beach skiing with some friends. Oh, but how far is it from Beach to West Virginia? Well, it looks to be only 3 hours. Okay, I'll come join you. Really? This is cool. It's either a start of a great friendship or start of me being left in West Virginia, right? So anyway, we get up there. Everything goes well. Test drive goes well. And then you get to the money part, right? Whenever you're selling a car or doing what you're doing. I like certified checks. They're small. They have cash value. Put them in your pocket. I guess this guy didn't get the memo. He showed up with like a 3-inch thick envelope of cash. It's like fives and twenties. It's like, what are you doing? We're about to walk into a DMV. I don't want to carry this into a DMV. You guys have been in DMVs. It's a little sketch. You know? And at that time, Cameron wasn't there. So I'm thinking, okay, now I've got all this money on me. I don't have a ride back to Charlotte. This is going to be a really awkward Uber ride, just throwing. Money up to the front seat saying, please keep driving, please, you're gonna get me home. So Cameron shows up, we go inside, and right before we go inside, the guy goes, well, here's your money, I don't want to hold it anymore. I said, yeah, true point. So I just turned to Cameron and I'm like, hey, can you make sure this is all here? There should be $10,000 there. And he goes, okay, sure, and walks back to his truck and we're walking into the DMV and the guy's name was Jake. He's like, you guys must be great friends for him to drive all the way up here and take you home. I said, yeah, I guess we're pretty good friends. He goes, yeah, you must have known him for a long time to give him that big envelope of money and him being your ride home, right? Said, so, I've known him for a week. He goes, seriously? So we came back out of the DMV and Cameron goes, all the money's here, all 5,000. He's like, no, I'm just kidding. All 10,000 was still there. We had a great time. It was a great trip back. But that was just one of the stories how a great friendship started. And that friendship was started. I'd like to think in Christ as a Christian friendship, but it's been growing ever since. But so there's many stories that surround our friendships and what brings us into a friendship with one another. And I am in trouble because I forgot to start my timer. And I might talk all morning. No, I'm serious about this. Like, you don't want me going without a timer. All right, we're good. But great friendships start in many different ways. Friendships develop in many different ways. But one thing that adds to our friendships as Christians is to pour into them. That's what I want to talk about today is great friendships flow from you. And we do that in three different ways. And we're going to go through these things, but I want you to write this down in your notes. There should be some blanks. It's great friendships are strengthened. Or you can say great friendships are grown through sacrifice. I'm going to stop you right there. We'll start with sacrifice. Great friendships, great Christian friendships are grown through sacrifice. And I think there's a reason we need to have Christian on the front of this, is because we can come in here and talk about worldly friendships and just normal friendships, but that isn't what God's called us to do. That's not why we're here today in church. We're here today to see what is being a Christian. How does that add anything to my relationship with other people, right? Otherwise, you're just a Christian with friends. You're not living in Christian friendships. So great Christian friendships are strengthened through sacrifice. But sacrifice is a tough word, right? What does sacrifice look like? What does it feel like? If many of you joined us a few weeks ago, Pastor Craig was talking about the Art of Neighboring series. He was up here preaching, and he had an illustration here to the right. And he had two glass jars. It was a time management illustration. So this illustration has nothing to do with what I'm about to say. But I'm going to use it all the same. And he had these big rocks, he had small rocks, and he had sand. And if you put it all in the vase together, it fills up perfectly at the top. And he threw a wrench in it and had some extra rocks and was like, see what happens when you put God first? You don't have time to do everything you want to do. And to me, that's the same thing when we put sacrifice in the midst of our friendship. Sacrifice, at its core, is simply giving up something for something you desire more. If we have to give sacrifice into a friendship, that means we're giving up something to pour into a friendship, to make that better, to build someone up. That's tough. Anybody ever tried to sacrifice or give love without having felt any love back? Almost like a one-way street. So the one thing I want to talk about today is we can't give what we have not already been given. And as Christians, if we're going to sacrifice into our friendships and make those friendships great, part of that sacrifice is realizing the sacrifice that's already been made for us and for everyone out there. The whole idea of meeting a stranger, of going outside of our way to interact with somebody, to bring them into a relationship, and to bring them into a great Christian friendship is sacrifice. Because that's going to take time, it's going to take effort, it's going to take heart. Because why? We're not perfect. No one's perfect, so there's going to be brokenness. There's going to be things you got to get through. But sometimes we pour out thinking, okay, yes, God sacrificed for us. He gave for us. Well, I'm good. But we're not getting truly grasping what he did for us. And I want to share that with you today. In Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 8. It should be on the screen behind me. It reads this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Listen to that. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for his glorious grace he's poured out on us, who belong to his dear Son. And he's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son, and he forgave our sins. Listen to that. He purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son, and he forgave our sins. And he's now showered his kindness on us along with all his wisdom and understanding, and the version I have reads in grace. We can't even start to think about giving sacrificially to our friendships unless we fully fathom what God did for us on the cross through Christ. I don't know about you guys, but oftentimes my week gets busy. Anybody else's week gets busy? Oh, cool. I need to live in y'all's week. That's awesome. My week gets busy. And it gets busy to the point that all I can see, all I can experience is the world that I'm living in. And sometimes that world I'm living in has nothing to do with Christ. And that scripture becomes muted, that scripture becomes dim. And in my heart, I do not grasp the love that God has poured out of me before. And it takes putting in some earbuds for a minute. Walking outside. And just closing my eyes and remembering the image that's always stuck in my mind of Jesus on the cross looking down at me and saying, "It's okay. I got this." And that then levels the playing field. We can start again. And I can give sacrificially again. I can be interruptible. I can go outside of myself to do something for Christ. Also, we cannot have friendship flow out of us without God's love flowing in. We can live on a memory, but we can only live on that memory for so long. Because as we continue to pour out and pour out and pour out and pour out, that memory becomes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. But if we have God's love flowing in, then our cup is pressed down, shaken together, and it's overflowing, and the God's love then can flow out of us. How does God's love flow into our life? How does it flow into your life? I know for me, it's coming here on a Sunday. Being able to worship, being able to just for an hour on a Sunday, let everything go. I love that third song. Let everything else fade away. Take the whole world, give me Jesus. Man, that's so easier to say than do, right? To come here on a Sunday to be filled up, but then to come during the week and interact with a life group and a small group, a group of Christian friends, of believers, where you can pour your heart out and hear their hearts being poured out as well. And together, give sacrificially so that your sacrifice can lift up someone else. That what flows out of you can flow into someone else. You see, it goes both ways. Oops, there's a chair there. So remember, nothing can flow out of you until it's flowed in from God. Because otherwise, we pour out, we pour out, and pour out. And eventually, we don't have anything left. We've given everything we have to give. Some people will call that burnout. I call it bitterness. Anybody ever been in a relationship where it does not feel like a friendship, it feels like a responsibility? You know, there's always people coming to ask you for stuff, and you're always pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, and then finally, that bitterness just hits a breaking point. For those of you who are married, you might have seen like little things this. I know for me, like, it's like, come on, the toilet paper, really? You couldn't change the way? Stephen, that was your way. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't change it. I was in a hurry. But it just hits this breaking point. It's these little things. What do you mean you can't keep your room clean? I just folded these clothes yesterday. This cannot be that hard. Put them in the drawer. They don't have to be color coded. Just push the drawer in. I'm the one that leaves my clothes out, by the way. But we lose the opportunity there to continue that Christian relationship because God's gone. All we have is our worldly desires. All we have is the desire to be known, the desire to be understood, that we've been giving and giving and giving. And if without God's love flowing in and filling us back up, then we hit that breaking point. But if we can step back, take a breath, remember what God has done, be in community through the week, then the love continues to flow. Then those situations can be approached with grace and forgiveness, knowing that no one is perfect. I gotta get rolling because I'm running out of time, but the next one is intimate sharing. So great Christian friendships are strengthened through sacrifice, intimate sharing, and having an eternal perspective. They filled in the blanks. Darn, I was trying to keep you guys guessing. When we think of intimate sharing in the context of sacrifice, I think we need to look at it through two different groups or two different ways of intimate sharing. Because when we think of intimate sharing, that's a big thing, right? Anybody else sort of freaked out with intimate sharing? Like, did you want me to do what? I haven't told anybody about that. I gotta fix it before I can tell someone about it, right? Isn't that the Christian things? Hey, you wanna hear my testimony? Hear from where I've come? You don't get to hear what I'm dealing with, but I'll tell you where I come from. I think we need to think of intimate sharing in two contexts. And it's simply this: intimate sharing in the realm of a family or a marriage. And the intimate sharing in the realm of a small group or a group of friendships. Maybe it's your men's group or your women's group in church or something like that, because those two areas are vastly different in what you share. A great friendship flow out of you. To let them see the love of Christ through you, to make them want to come and know more. to make The Lion King that we're going to see November 17th be more than just The